I thank the Lord for giving us some inspiration this week as we were in our trials and our battles. I'd like to share some things with you that the Lord blessed us with. I know this is Father's Day, and I asked the Lord about that, and I really didn't get any inspiration about that, so I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me. Genesis chapter 15, and 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision." After what things? Abram had just gone and helped to deliver his nephew Lot from the coalition of several kings who had come and made war with the king of Sodom and other kings in that area, and had taken Lot and all the people away captive and taken their worldly possessions, and just as kings did in those days. And Abram had taken his own trained servants, 318 of them, only 318 of them, to go after the other armies that had come and taken away the people of Sodom. Abram had gone after him in the night, and he had actually rescued Sodom and the people and their goods and brought them back to safety. And the kings of those cities that he had rescued came to him along with the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. Melchizedek offered up offerings, and Abram gave him 10% of all the stuff that he had taken. And those kings came to Abram and said, "We want to repay you. You give us back the people, but you take all the stuff." And Abram said, "I don't want anyone to say that I made them rich. I don't want anyone to say that they made me rich." Got that confused a little bit. He said, "I won't take anything except food for the young men who were in my army." So they all separated and went away from there. Abram had just rejected a great big reward and had gone away from there. He paid to the high priest 10% of it, but then he left all the rest of it with, gave it back to the kings. So he got back from there, and then the Lord appeared to him. And this is what the Lord said: "Fear not, Abram." Now, you know, Abram would have feared, because he had just beat a whole bunch of armies and kings in a battle unexpectedly. It wasn't even feasible that he would have defeated them, but he did. And so probably when he got back from there, he expected them to come back and get him. So Abram was a man. He had fears just like you and I do. But wouldn't that be something for you to be in a place there of having done what he did, and then the Lord to come to you and say, "Don't fear." He said, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield." I want to speak just a little bit about that. And then he said, "I am thy exceeding great reward." I liked that a lot. The part about the shield is what I want to dwell on. But thinking about when he told him, "I'm your reward," it lets us know that there is nothing that's worth more to us than to have the Lord himself as our God. And that's what he told Abram. "You just turned down riches and reward. You just turned it down." He said, "I am your reward." And that's was one time something that a prophet told King Amaziah a long time later in 2 Chronicles. We read about it. He told King Amaziah, Amaziah had made a league with another king, and he was going to go out to battle, and he had hired he had hired 100,000 men, mighty men out of Israel. This was the king of Judah. He had hired 100,000 mighty men to help him, and he had paid them 100 talents of silver. And the man of God came to him and said, "Don't let that army go with you, because the Lord's not with you if you have them with you, because they have turned me aside." And verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 25, he said, "But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God's going to make you fall before your enemies. For God hath power to help or to cast down." And Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" So he was thinking, if I'd let him go, I've paid him 100 talents of silver. What am I going to do about that? I'm out that much money and that much riches. And the man of God said, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than that. Much more than this." That's the thought that I was thinking about, along with what he told Abram. "You just turned down a reward." And to Amaziah, he said, "The Lord's able to give you much more." Just to have the Lord with us is more than anything. That to know that we can possess, we can have for our very own the great and mighty God of Israel to be on our side and to help us. He said, "The Lord is able to give you much more." Well, with Amaziah, his heart wasn't really in it. And those men that went home, he turned them loose and they went home. They were angry and they came back. And they killed, I think, 10,000 of his soldiers. So he got in trouble with it with them. And after that, he turned against God. And he got the gods and the idols of the people and turned his heart against God. That's quite a sad story about Amaziah. He died not too long after that, and his heart had been turned against God. But to Abram, the Lord said, "Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." And I want to talk now a little bit about God being our shield. This was spoken of God in different places. The next time I think that we read it would be in Deuteronomy 33. This is the song of Moses before he died. The very last thing that he said to Israel, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 33, he said, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency." So he called God here, he called him a shield, and he called him a sword. A weapon of defense and a weapon of offense to God's enemies. And as we read on in the scriptures, we can see how that works in our lives. God is a shield. He is the shield of thy help. And he is the sword of thine excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Or my margin says, thine enemies shall submit themselves unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. So with the sword and shield, not just that God gives us, but that he is to us, we can have victory in our souls. He has given us this kind of victory. David also, in two places where we have it recorded, 2 Samuel 22, I think it is. Let me just check on that. 2 Samuel 22 and the Psalm 18, they are the same song of David in both places, exactly the same. But several times in this song, he calls God his shield. The first time is, I'll just use the one from Psalms 18. Psalms 18 and 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." Now, we don't have time to go through all of these, but every one of them gives us an insight into God's character and what he is to us. But he says, you're my rock, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, or it means fountain source there, like a wonderful fountain. That's what this word strength means. My strength in whom I will trust, my buckler. And that word buckler is talking about a full body shield. Full body shield. Back then I learned that those shields they had, many times they were wood frame with skin stretched over them. And then they would plate them with metal. But sometimes they would grease them. They'd grease them so that they would be slippery. So that what was hurled against them would just slide off. So all of those things give us, it gives us a thought about what God, the kind of help and the kind of deliverance that he has for his people. But this word buckler, it means literally a door. It means a full body shield. That's higher than and bigger than we are. That's what God wants to shield to encompass us with, is a full body shield. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Then in verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. That's why he told Abram, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. You don't have to be afraid for those people who are going to seek revenge. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. I'll get between them and you. That's the thought that that really blesses me, is that whatever it is, the Lord will stand between. He'll stand between me and fear. He'll stand between me and grief. He will stand between me and a disease. Stand between me and Satan's attacks. It doesn't matter what it is. The Lord can be the shield and is our shield. Down in verse 35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. His salvation this morning is not just, oh, believe in the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. It's not just forgiveness. It's not just that I can continue living, but I'm okay before God. It's a lot more than that. You have given me the shield of thy salvation. That kind of salvation, well, just believe and, you know, you're fine no matter what you do. That's not powerful. That's just leaving people in their own ways and in Satan's domain. But a shield is when God steps in and he puts himself between us and the enemy. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Let's see. Also, let's look in Psalms chapter 3 and verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. There's a song like this, and I'm not going to try to sing it, but I like to sing it. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me, or he propped me up. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. We have many enemies that come, but I'm thankful that the Lord can break the power. He can break the power of the enemy. He can destroy what they trust in. He can destroy their shields. That's a thought that I had never really considered, but I read it in Ezekiel 39. He was talking about God's judgment and upon his enemies. In verse 8, he talks about the day that, verse 7, I'll make my holy name known in the midst of Israel. In verse 9, I know this is spiritual language. It's possible and probably probable that there's already been battles, literal battles that Israel was in where this came true. But really, it's a spiritual victory that he's talking about. Verse 9, it says, they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons. This is a wonderful victory to think about spiritually. The Lord's going to burn the weapons of the enemy, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand staves, the spears. They shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. I thank the Lord for that victory that he will give his people over the enemy. Again, let me go back into the Psalms a little bit. Let's see, Psalms 'm not finding. Well, if you find one in the Psalms, maybe you can add it, but I'm going to go to the Proverbs now. Proverbs 2 and 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Oh, I know where it is. Psalms 84. Psalms 84 mentions this twice. Behold, verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing. Sometime when you're in trouble, try this. Do this. Do this in battle with the enemy, with the affliction or whatever it is. Look at the Lord and say, you're my shield. Behold, look at us, Lord. Look at us, O God, our shield. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. I did that the other night. That's where this message came from, really. Is the other night I began to pray for our daughter who was so bad, and this verse came to my mind, and I prayed it just like this. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield. And whenever I said those words, that just did it for me. That inspired me to see, to look at him and to ask him to look down upon us and to call him our shield. And it just, I had to go look it up. I had to find where he said it. Then in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's a wonderful promise to tell the Lord in the time of need. Lord, you said, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Thank the Lord, he is a sun and a shield. Psalm 115. He says it twice. Verse 9, He says it three times here, verses 9, 10, and 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Thank the Lord. Did I read the one in Proverbs? Okay, there's one. I read the one in Proverbs 2, but there's another one in Proverbs 30. And verse 5. Every word of God is pure. I think the Bible verse this morning was, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. This says every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now I want to give you a little quiz. Two things. Two requirements for the Lord being our shield. What are they that we've read in just the previous verses? This one and one more. It says, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So there's that one, and there's one more that we read. Let's see, which one was that? He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And the other one was, those, okay, this is the same. Thou art a buckler. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. But there's one more, and I can't now remember where it was. He is a shield to them who... Yes, that's it, but I can't find where it is. I read it, but... I don't know which one it was. So we've come into the scriptures and we've looked at them. And the requirement that we get out of the scripture is that we must trust in him for him to be our shield.
Psalm 84 and 11.
Well... it says, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. But there's one that said he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Directly, it says it. And I read it. Let's see. Well, we'll keep going. I thank the Lord for the... place where, that's where it says there no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. But I just know there's one that said,
well, it says that for the Lord is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace.
Well, we will maybe look at that later. Now I'll go to the New Testament. The place where we find this here in the New Testament is in Ephesians 6, where he talks about the weapons of our warfare, the whole armor of God. And I was thinking of how it says here that the shield of faith in verse 16, 6 and 16 of Ephesians, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And how God said that he is our shield. But our faith is what takes hold of the shield. Our faith takes hold of the Lord. Because he said he's a shield to those who trust in him and walk uprightly. The shield of faith is when we take hold of the Lord and we believe Him and we trust in Him and we rest in Him. We have confidence in Him. We make Him our confidence. He is the one we call on. He's the one we lean on. He's the one we depend on. We don't have something else that we go to for comfort and for help and for strength. He is it. And He said, if you'll do that, if you'll trust in Me, I'll be your shield. So that's how the shield of faith works, is that it's God that's the shield. He's the buckler. It's not our faith, but our faith is what takes hold of Him to be our shield and buckler. And take, He said, the helmet of salvation. That's us, actually a shield also for the head. A helmet is. All of these pieces of weaponry here that He's talked about, the loins that were girt about with truth, the breastplate, all of those are shields. And then the door that we hold up, the full body shield, we hold up with faith. The feet that are prepared to preach the gospel and share the gospel, that's a shield for us. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That sword, let's go to Hebrews 4. The sword and the shield work together. And I was thinking how that God can go down at anywhere where the sword goes, the shield's there too. And in that, we need to take our mind off of the analogy of holding up a shield before the darts of the wicked. But thinking about how God can be a shield wherever we need Him to be a shield, in our minds. Let's look at this, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick or alive or living and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So where the sword goes and divides and separates and cuts and pierces, the shield can go too. God can shield us in our inmost thoughts and in our minds. He can stand between us and the enemy. The sword divides and discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the shield is there to guard us and to help us and to keep us. That was such a comfort to me the other night. And in the different battles that we've had, and in my own spiritual life, to know that the Word of God can discern and detail all of the things that are going on in our battles, and the shield can go right in there and be there for us. Could you bring me my phone? I want to look up a poem. This is called The Wall and the Hedge. And I've probably quoted it here several times, but I'm going to read it to you again. And this talks about Satan walling you around. But inside the wall, between you and the wall, there's God. And that's what this poem is talking about. And to me, that's representing this whole thought about God being a shield. Just whatever the enemy is doing to hamper us and to bombard us and to hinder us in spiritual life, the Lord can be between us and Him. This is a wonderful thought. I want you to listen. The devil may wall you round, but he cannot roof you in. He may fetter your feet and tie your hands and strive to hamper your soul with bands, as his way has always been. But he cannot hide the face of God. And the Lord shall be your light. And your eyes and your thoughts can rise to the sky, where his clouds and his winds and his birds go by, and his stars shine out at night. The devil may wall you round. He may rob you of all things dear. He may bring his hardest and roughest stone and think to cage you and keep you alone. But he may not press too near. For the Lord has planted a hedge inside and has made it strong and tall, a hedge of living and growing green, and ever it mounts and keeps between the trusting soul and the devil's wall. Praise God. The devil may wall you round, but the Lord's hand covers you. And his hedge is a thick and thorny hedge, and the devil can find no entering wedge, nor get his fingers through. He may circle about you all day long, but he cannot work as he would. For the will of the Lord restrains his hand, and he cannot pass the Lord's command, and his evil turns to good. The devil may wall you round with his gray stones, row on row, but the green of the hedge is fresh and fair, and within its circle is space to spare, and room for your soul to grow. The wall that shuts you in may be hard and high and stout, but the Lord is sun, and the Lord is dew, and his hedge is coolness and shade for you, and no wall can shut him out. Praise the Lord for the Lord's hedge and his shield about our souls this morning. May God bless his word today is my prayer.